disconcerting. $1 million, but whenever you scratch an itch, you get a root canal. Fuck no. Absolutely not. Nope. Miles and I have said this out loud. One of the probably the only fears that we have. Losing all of our goddamn teeth. No. Fuck that. A fucking root canal.
Just nope.
Take me outside, use a samurai sword, cut my fucking head off, we're good to go.
Yeah, fuck that.
I'm out.
Every time I scratch an itch, I have an itch right now.
I itch every morning.
I was
going
to say, I tend to be a very itchy person.
Wait a minute, though. Do you have to be the one scratching the itch, or someone can do it for you, and then you don't get the root canal? They do.
I don't give a shit, we're all dudes.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
I'm married, and I don't think I can get my wife to scratch my balls every morning.
Yeah, I don't think you can pay somebody enough to do that for you.
Just saying.
You're going to lose that $1 million really fucking quick.
It's an option.
What about those things where you itch and you don't think about it?
Like when you sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in a fucking dentist chair?
Getting a fucking...
Wow, I actually had a nightmare about that once.
That's horrifying. Fuck this. No. That's like waking up in a bathtub of ice with missing a kidney.
Yeah, usually I can justify these, but $1 million is not nearly enough for this.
Fucking
no.
Dr. Giggles.
It'd be one thing if you only had to do it for like maybe a month. You just slather yourself in calamine lotion for like a month.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have to put up with it much longer because you wouldn't have any goddamn teeth afterwards.
Right.
Wake up in a goddamn dentist chair, dude, you would fucking have a panic attack.
Or involuntary
stress. The fuck am I? Hold him down!
I mean, I feel like I felt your blood pressure go up when you thought about that one for a second.
That was unanimous.
Yeah.
I'll say fuck that.
Not even remotely worth it.
Welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Anderson.
This is Loach.
I'm going to name this one We Swear Because We Care.
Swear bear stare.
The swear bear stare. We're like Monsters Incorporated. Every time we swear, we power a city.
God damn.
We feel the earth by the power of our anger. Speaking of anger, Arkane Studios released a game called Prey today. Listeners, if you've kept up with us for a while, you know that I personally am not a fan of Arkane. I think that a lot of the games that they actually make are garbage and... I think that there are people out there that don't really realize just how mediocre their games are. So if you've been with us for a while, you've heard my review on Dishonored 2 and the fact that Dishonored 2, I probably would have changed my opinion a lot, had one specific section of the game that involved time travel been a little more incorporated throughout the game rather than just one section. But because that was the true new mechanic of the game that really would have changed things around for me. But typically their games recently, especially, have been wanting to be BioShock so bad, like in the worst way. It's like they're trying to fill this void that we all know is there because there's not going to be any more BioShock games. And they think they can do it. And based off of the gameplay that I've played... It's a very boring game, and it is not great. And listeners, I got a free fucking copy, and I can tell you that even after playing this for a few hours, I can say I want a refund on my life. You can't give me the time that I've spent on this game already. So whether or not I actually continue it, I probably won't. It doesn't seem like the mimics aren't creative enough enemy for me to continue to want to play against. There's not enough variety there. It's not like there's anything original about them, in my opinion, other than the fact that they can mimic objects, which, yeah, that's kind of neat, but in reality, what?
Him. Him and his fucking chewing. He's like...
You smacking over there?
I'll just do the piss off load.
Dude, yeah, shut the fuck
that's
up.
That's really, really kind. Anderson, especially when somebody has to edit a podcast that involves sound, you fuck.
Dude, seriously, you're like 5. My kid's got better manners.
It's
okay.
God damn.
No, it really is not. Like, it's like when Loach had the fucking Nalgene bottle and kept clicking it and fucking playing with
that
it
was
the entire
accidental.
Fucking time.
I really didn't mean to do that.
I know, but it was very annoying to try to...
Throw
it on the goddamn
Don't
ground.
Give it back to him, he doesn't learn!
Jesus Christ, Anderson. I'm gonna put a muzzle on you.
So,
The game's boring.
Moving the on. Game's really boring. Miles, you played roughly an hour and 30 minutes of it. What'd you think?
For if it was a greatly discounted game or one of the free to play or not free to play but
game of gold games.
Or whatever,
I still would want my money back.
I would probably play it through just to see how it goes.
Yeah, just for the achievements.
Yeah. No, I can't really do that anymore.
No.
But even if it was like one of those free games,
I'm definitely going to be returning one. I think.
Yeah. And I understand that.
And I'm not a big Arcane fan either. I enjoyed Dishonored, but I never played through all the first one until it was free.
So. Yeah, and I had paid full price for Dishonored. It was not a great game. It was okay, but it was not a $60 game.
I just can't stand the games. For me, it
was very mediocre.
The
yeah.
games are just and boring. I feel like
they get by on a few fans that go, oh, it's the greatest game ever, and overblown reviews, and I feel like their reviews are just completely ludicrous.
Dishonored 1 was boring as fuck.
It had a cool style, you know, and that was probably about the only thing that it truly had going for it.
Yeah.
Was just, you know, because it kind of combined that, like, gothic steampunk kind of feel to
I'll
it.
Agree. Yeah, that's
which
cool.
They've brought over into Prey and into the sci-fi realm, which is funny, because everybody keeps saying, oh, this is so Bioshock. No, this is just Dishonored.
Re-skinned. No, because if it was so Bioshock, it'd be good.
I mean, it's the character design, the people designs, it's very Dishonored. There's no difference between the two. They're not deviating from any kind of style. They haven't seemed to be created anything new. And it only pisses me off more to know that there was another Prey that was going to be called Prey 2.
Oh my god.
That was
really
in the works.
Awesome.
And it was so badass looking. I mean, it was fucking Blade Runner, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
So, to not get that game and to end up with something like this that is essentially a ripoff of Bioshock, when I say Bioshock, there's very little Bioshock. When I say Bioshock, it's like, there's a few environments that are mostly just designed after Art Deco, and that's about it.
When I say Bioshock, I mean first person.
I mean, that's really it. It's got, you know, a first person view and a wrench. Okay, great.
Aesthetics.
Yeah, I mean, like they try to design a lot of the interior areas like after Art Deco styles. So that's the Bioshock-esque part of it.
So fucking
but aside boring. From that, it's Dishonored, which was also kind of Art Deco-ish. Steam kind of that steampunk kind of feel to it, mixed with a little bit of Dead Space. And when I say Dead Space, it's the suit that you're wearing.
Well, see, I also the vibe I got watching Miles play just now is that when the camera focused, like, okay, so like when you play Dead Space, you hear the music, the camera would focus on the jump scare. Like, you had to tell Miles where to look for the fucking jump scare.
Oh yeah. That's why I was saying when I was playing, there were multiple times when it like this music score would cue, and I'm like, what did I miss? Like, what was I supposed to be scared by something?
Right.
That's when the camera's supposed to focus at the jump scare.
Yeah, like the monster that's sitting at the window. I was like, there's a guy at the like I had to tell Miles, there's a guy to your right that you have to look at. Otherwise, you'll miss it completely. You have no idea what you were supposed to have seen. Like, there's no direction in the game of, hey, look over here, hey, look over here, this is interesting, you need to look at it. Whereas in Bioshock, fucking Dead Space, games that have Resident actually perfected Evil. Things like these, the camera will physically take control away from you to show you this is what you need to focus on at this point.
It would steer you there more.
Yeah, it's a narrative, like, this is what you need to look at, look at this.
That's cool. Huh? They're all boring.
You can unplug that?
What? The fridge?
No. We've always had that.
Yeah, I had more
fun. Trust me,
it's
not as loud as the old one was.
I had more fun dicking around in the game than actually truly playing it.
Yeah.
We watch you do the first 5 minutes, you just grabbing shit and throwing it.
And don't get me wrong, people say who sit there and say, oh, it's thrilling, it's very tense. It's not really tense.
No.
I spend most of my time banging the shit out of everything because I want to know which one's a fucking mimic. And it's not because I'm afraid a mimic's going to jump out to me. It's just because I'd rather do that than have a mimic come out
and ambush you
and ambush me and hit me. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just beat the shit out of everything I find. In which case, because of that, I literally have eight med packs right now. I haven't used one. I'm literally at 100% health and 100% armor still from when I started the game. So Arcane, your game's not very good. Sorry. Your enemy design needs to take a step up. You guys really need to up your game because I still think that you are a mediocre studio that is living off the hype of because you made one decent game that was different from other people's and Dishonored. Well, when people keep saying that this has unique character and level or character level and enemy design, I'm like, no, it's not. They used literally everything that they had in previous games to make this game. They just put it in a new engine. That's it. So, yeah, maybe the engine... And here's the thing. I haven't come across anything that's truly game-breaking on the PC, which is amazing, because Dishonored and Dishonored 2 were fucking awful on PC. But they're using a new game engine, so maybe because they're using a new game engine, even though it's the same design style and same kind of texturing and everything else, maybe because the new engine is going to be a little more optimized. So that's a good thing. You know, maybe the game's not going to fucking break on me, but... Just to give you guys a quick update, it is not better optimized. In fact, there are a lot of game-breaking glitches in the PC version, and it seems that Arcane still hasn't learned their lesson. So regardless of using a new engine, it is not better, and it's not more optimized for the PC. I've come across a few things where, for instance, my save somehow got corrupted because of an update. So they did an update to the code, and my save was no longer compatible with the new code. It's about 5 hours of game lost. So that was fantastic. I'm still not overly impressed with the art style and decisions they make for it. But that's just me.
I'd rather have you punch me in the balls multiple times. That would have been more thrilling than watching you play that.
But that's just my opinion. I don't think they're that great.
I can't stand their fucking games. I think all their games are fucking boring. They are. They start boring, and your starting of your game has to grab you. If it doesn't grab you in the first hour, you got a problem.
I would agree on that one.
If you're playing a game, and in the first hour, you're still fucking bored, you have a very big problem on your hands.
Yeah, if you could put down the controller and walk away for a couple hours and not want
to
play.
And not be excited to come back.
I think the problem...
Stop playing to begin with.
The biggest problem that I see from Prey... There are two big problems with it that I see from Prey. Its pacing is off.
And it's called Prey.
No, its pacing is off. They don't create any kind of mystery as to what's happening to you and what's actually going on. It just feels...
What the fuck?
Yeah, it just feels like you're just going through the motions and you know eventually they're going to explain why they were testing you, but at the same time, I really don't care.
Shocker, you are a mimic.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me actually at all. The second thing is their character design. Their enemy design is...
bland.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how the mimics are going to carry the rest of this game.
My 8-year-old daughter can create better...
without having something new. Like, if the mimics do something else where, like, they take over a body of a human being or can mimic a person...
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. That would completely... I'd be like, wow, that's actually really neat. But
neat.
three hours neat. In, and all I've seen is coffee cups, chairs, trash cans. There's, you know, a bin on the ground. I'm like, man, this is like, they're like the most boring enemy ever.
I walked into a room, eight of them fucking scurried around, not a single one noticed me.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really thrilling if you were in like
If all eight of those, like, if you'd walked into that room and all eight of them saw you and came together and combined into one enemy, I'd been like, wow, that's cool.
Or tried to rush me, because I had the glue gun at that point, and it's a hallway. Like, it's really easy to do a funnel. Like, you know, put that little bit of panic in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, still make it manageable.
It'd be more thrilling if the whole game took place in a Bed Bath & Beyond. Because then you don't know what the fuck's going to happen to you.
Yeah, when you go into that Beyond section, you got to watch out.
Dude, seriously.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken comes up.
He's the leader of the mimics.
Instead of calling it Prey, call it Textiles.
Yeah, so, listeners, our recommendation is wait until it is a bin item.
I wouldn't even give it that.
Bin or free.
Don't get it, period. Well,
Save yourself. I would consider bin free as well.
I'm going to go loach on this
one. Don't
waste your life on this game.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, if you really want to play it, and, you know, other than that, they have a free demo on console, And aside from that, if you want to play the free demo on PC, oh wait, they don't have one. You have to buy the game, and then their response to that is, well, play the first hour, and if you don't like it, just return it to Steam. Yeah, I'm sure Steam will appreciate that very much, because you couldn't get off your ass to make a fucking demo.
Couldn't get off your ass to make a good game, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, how the fuck is your response of,
hey,
we didn't have enough time and resources to develop a demo for PC? Really? Because the last time we checked, translating PC games to the newer consoles that we have is a hell of a lot easier than it's ever been before, so.
You were just on your phone, that's why I asked.
Oh, it's got to be like an 8, 9 or something like that.
It's like a 9, 8. This is the greatest game ever made.
Revolutionized the gaming industry.
Seriously.
Nearly every time.
I will say that the model creation in it is pretty cool. Like, you know, the objects that they created look really, you know, nice and sharp and interesting.
They're detailed.
Yeah.
I mean, they've definitely created a world around it, and I do have to say, their level designer, that guy should definitely keep his job. He's good. He's a good, you know, he's a good designer.
You should make a better game and not call it Prey.
The person that shouldn't keep their job is maybe your creative director.
I move him over to the
your writers,
Elder Scroll team, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does IGN even have a score out yet?
No, it says review is still in progress.
Yeah, that's because no reason.
That's because they're in an hour and they're still bored.
No, because they refuse to give any review code out to anyone. Everybody who wanted to review the game had to wait until the game actually launched.
Which is that's usually a bad sign, listeners.
When a developer refuses to give review code out because they know that their game is bought based off the review.
And they've done that before, where they said review in progress. Like they did that for MLB The Show 17. They said a review in progress. But if we were to give it one, it's at this score right now.
Yeah.
We'll give it more when we keep playing. But the fact that they're not giving it a score, period, yeah, you got a problem. Arcane's sitting there, she's like, please, just shut up. Please, take more of our money. Don't tell them bad things, please.
Yeah, so, listeners, some of you may criticize us for not playing the full game to give you a full review. There are some times when you don't need to actually smell a turd in order to know you don't need to pick it up.
I'm sorry, but if you're in an hour into a game and you're fucking bored and don't want to play it, that's not a good game. You don't need to play the rest.
Yeah.
I'm not going to force myself to play a shit game.
Man, 6 hours in, that gameplay really picked up.
Yeah, 6 hours
in. Great, thanks. I'll suffer through the first 6 hours to get to the last three.
How long's the game?
Play games like that, too.
Huh?
You know, the worst part is we've all played games like that,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, the game doesn't pick up for at least about 6 hours, but good thing the game's only 6.5 hours long.
I know I've played two of them, Dishonored and Dishonored 2.
Yeah, right.
Now,
boring to start, and then
end up getting one section where you're like, wow, that's really fucking cool. Why wasn't this in the rest of the goddamn game?
Now, for a positive game review, Little Nightmares came out, and so far I'd say that's easily the best story I've seen this year.
For a small game?
In general. I say best as in most unique.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I was going to say, really over Horizon?
I love Horizon Zero Dawn. The story is not necessarily
unique.
Like, unique the or ending, outstanding.
The ending borrows a lot of things from other games and other movies and TV that I've seen. But I don't generally get that in a game. And I will say that it is... the art style is very Tim Burton-esque.
Oh, yeah.
It is very unique for a video game to have that.
It makes Fargo really upset.
And the fact that the fact that it has, like, when it comes up and it says checking for DLC makes me very excited to see what they come out with next.
There's DLC for Little Nightmares?
It says checking for DLC every time you load it.
Maybe it's, like, different maps?
I don't know. I mean,
it does look more like a puzzle game.
I can see them adding challenge modes, but and stuff like that. But
like a time trial.
I would definitely like to see them explore more to this like little universe they created.
Yeah,
this little universe.
Sit down and play it. Maybe 5-6 hours of gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's short. For the price you pay, it's pretty fair.
Yeah, pay $20.
You know, especially for the quality of the game. But yeah, Little Nightmares was fantastic. I had fun.
All right, so I have a question. you've known me long enough. You have a pretty good idea of what my tastes and things are. Will I like this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go home and buy it tonight then. Cause,
you're going to sit there and be like, man, this is really fucked up.
I already playing it this weekend.
I actually don't think...
They do a good job of... It subtly gets more and more of like, wow, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Kind of like Limbo did.
Yeah
that's how... You know? That's what it reminds me of is like Limbo and...
Yeah, and it's got kind of the same pacing, kind of the same, you know...
The puzzle.
Same length and everything like that. It's not so much...
It's not as many death traps.
Yeah, it's not as many death traps and so harsh on the puzzles. It's more about just trying to navigate and make your way through this story. A little more like Inside was, which was...
Yeah, fair enough. Inside, which was also a fucked up ending.
Which was also really kind of fucked
still
up.
Still gotta play that one.
Flat Out 4 Total Insanity came out.
I can't believe they're fucking making those games still.
Yeah. Different from the previous installments in the sense that it got rid of the racing. The previous installments had two modes, street racing and then just the fucking ridiculousness. This one just focuses on the ridiculousness. What's the best way you can launch your fucking human driver out of the car in the most absurd ways?
Yeah, they used to have, those fucking stunt modes and shit.
There'd be one, there's like one of my favorite ones. You fly off a ramp, you gotta launch your human out like he's a dart onto a dartboard.
Yeah, I remember that one. Through a ring of fire.
Yeah. And there's like all kinds of shit like that in this one. It came out $29.99. I think it's totally worth it if you want to play a game where you don't have to think it just fucking caused destruction.
I picked up Bomberman for a Switch. Oh,
I forgot about that.
And it's just straight up Bomberman. You know, with the...
Yeah, did you pay the $60 for it?
No, I got it used.
Good job.
So, got it for $40, I think.
That's not too bad. That's about the price it should have launched at.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it kind of takes me back to those days, and
it's literally Bomberman.
Power-ups are just as destructive as they are helpful. So go too goddamn fast, you can't fucking stop.
yeah. There's really not much this week.
Wait for it to go bin though.
Yeah, because that next big game would be Injustice.
MLB The Show just keeps getting better and better, man. The more shit they add, it's fucking incredible.
As weird as this sounds, the game I want to play is Lego City Undercover. That looks awesome.
It's open world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's open world. It's like it's a Lego game and it's open world, and I get to be a
cop.
A character, this is amazing.
There's a character that is clearly based off of Morgan Freeman, but it's not Morgan Freeman.
It's hilarious. If it's Lego True Crime, I could probably do it.
Wow, that'd be fucking awesome.
Oh man,
shoot, the gas tank just goes to pieces.
Oh wow. What else do we have to review? I can't remember.
Okay, I'll go.
You have, like...
I'll do it.
I was trying to think of, like, what I had to
do review. Do your three books real quick. Ready,
I'll do two. I'll make it even shorter.
All right, make it ready, and go.
All right, Science of Supervillainy.
You're done. That's it.
All right, we go.
The sequel.
So wait, are you reviewing books, or do you have another game to review?
No, I was going to do shit to the books, because I think we're done with games.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Unless you got something, just like...
Otherwise, now I have to cut something out and then...
Anderson's dictating on where we're going.
Yeah, did that one game come out for you yet?
It did, but he doesn't have a PC to play it on.
Which game?
Because his PC is in parts upstairs.
Is it the Warhammer one?
Yeah. It's been out for 2 weeks now.
Is it RTS or...
Yeah, hopefully I'll have my review next week, or at least...
Yeah. Anderson, you wanted to actually review something.
All right, so...
that we're supposed to do on a podcast.
Books.
I'm just going to review one. We're just going to jump straight to it.
Just do three.
Yeah, we got damn, a ton of time, apparently.
You don't need to give any descriptions. Literally, all you need to do is, this is the book, this is how I felt about it, go buy it. Yes or no. There is no try.
Southern Isn't that Haunters.
What libraries are for? What libraries?
They still have those?
Yeah, good point.
Well, I did go
to actually, you had a better point. They still do have libraries.
I always go to the library all the time.
The library.
Dude, you have no room to talk, library.
Hey, that's how I say it. Tough shit.
Jackass.
I don't give a fuck.
5-year-old.
Damn right.
Southern Haunting by Jeffrey Kafer. Entertaining book. If you follow the series, pick it up. You're good to go.
All right.
Cool. Next.
The Science of Supervillainy by C.T. Phipps, which is the final book in the series. Think of Megamind if it was rated R. If that's really up your alley, go for it.
That actually sounds entertaining.
Yeah, it does, actually. Cool, next.
The next one is actually worth, I want to get a little more details, is I picked up the Aliens Out of the Shadows book, which kind
of... Isn't that part of a series currently?
It's book one, book two just came out.
Okay.
But they really are, is they just kind of fill in the gaps between the movies.
Okay.
So the book I picked up, Out of the Shadows, takes place between Alien and Aliens, and the kind of focus of what really happened to Ripley as she was drifting in space and how she got there.
Didn't Dark Horse do that for their comics for a while? They filled in the space between Alien and Aliens. I thought they did.
Vaguely. The only stuff that I've seen from books that actually filled in any of the gaps was between Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, which was the Female War.
That's right.
Series. The Earth Hive and...
Earth Hive, Female War.
Nightmare Asylum.
I really enjoyed Out of the Shadows. It was written by Dirk Maggs, which you also read the next following book. What really did it for me, since I do a lot of audiobooks, if you guys have been listening to this forever, you know this. The one of the main narrators is Rutger Hauer. And
really quick. Since it has multiple narrators, typically when I see a book like that, it's not actually a book, it's more like
an audio drama, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Very well entertaining, very well done. They did like the Star Wars audiobooks where you had the sound effects and all that kind of stuff. The main villain is Ash, the android from the first one.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the one I got mixed up with Bishop for a brief moment of retardedness.
And essentially, it was only brief. Story. It's dark, it's sad, it's depressing. Ripley maintains her badassery.
Well, that's nice. How it should be.
Awesome. So worth a listen to.
I totally agree. It's only about 4 hours long for an audiobook, so it's a good sit down. Hands down, worth picking up. If you're a huge Aliens fan, or if you just want to pick up something different.
I don't know. We already saw Covenant at the theater last night.
Aliens
Love Boat.
There's a book that I've been listening to. It's called Time Bound. I haven't finished it yet, but I'll give a review when I'm done with it. It should be next week. So, anything else, guys? Do we want to review movies now?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do you want to do the big movie first or the other movies first?
What were the other movies?
Let's do the other movies first.
Okay. I picked up and watched Teen Titans, The Judas Contract. It's going over the new 52 universe. Very well done. Continues the series. Everybody's a badass in it. The biggest badass was actually Starfire, and it's more like the adult Starfire.
Yeah,
she's totally in charge of Teen Titans. What threw me off a little bit, and you can notice the voice, is that the voice of Terra this time is Christina Ricci.
Nice.
Does it throw you off because you want to make sweet, sweet love to it?
I know, and hi, Christina, character's like 17, 18, so I'm like,
yeah, Christina Ricci's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, Christina Ricci's
not. Neither are her nice
My brain knows this. It's like listening to Scarlett Johansson read the Bible to you.
So if you're a big fan of the DCAU movies that have been following along with the series, it's worth watching.
Nice. Really?
Yeah, listeners, in all honesty, look up Scarlett Johansson reads verses of the Bible. Oh my God.
Yeah, literally.
Never wanted to listen to an audio Bible in my life until that.
If he has a son and he is stubborn.
Oh no. Miles knows exactly what I'm talking about, because Miles has the same fucking response.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm not even joking.
Yeah, whoever's in charge of that needs to make that happen.
Revelations.
Oh man.
Samuel Jackson. Ryan
Reynolds reads Revelations. It's got a beginning. The beginning should be Genesis should be read by Morgan Freeman. They just get different actors per book.
Per book, yeah.
I would freak the fuck out. I would totally buy that. I would pay $100 for that.
That'd be
Samuel Jackson reads the entire story of Job.
I'm not going down in that city.
This motherfucking city. Oops, sorry, God.
And you can't make me,
motherfucker.
Oops, stupid whale.
Wow,
that's Jonah.
Oh, that is Jonah. Wow.
Job's.
I need to pick up my Bible again.
Job is the one that kept getting fucked over.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
This is true.
Jonah did too, though.
Well, not as bad. Not
a lot of people in the Bible
got fucked over.
I'm not religious, but I know that much.
No, you're right. I'm wrong.
God
works in mysterious and malicious ways.
Wow.
He's not wrong.
He's not. That's the problem.
I like to call those as rebellious days. I'm sorry, God. But come on, that was funny.
What was the Evan Almighty? He's a mean kid with a magnifying glass.
Or just the ants.
I love that. I'm not a fan of blasphemy, but that was a good one.
I'm not a fan of blasphemy, but that last one made me laugh. Oh. All right.
The four Gospels read by Matt and Trey.
Wow. Fucking wow.
Who can we get to make this happen now?
Who?
I would pay.
We have no connections.
Yeah. Ridiculous amounts of money for this.
Maybe we can get by on our comedy. Back in the 1980s, this would probably be true.
You go to church the next day, on that next Sunday. I know everything. Samuel L. Jackson, Trey Part, Trey and Matt Stone. All
right, next movie. Next movie review.
Did you guys have any other ones besides the big one?
I don't.
Oh, we saw the trailer for The Dark Tower.
Are you stretching or raising your hand?
I didn't.
I don't even know anymore.
Just so I go up to the blackboard.
He's trying to prevent the
why
the cholesterol buildup.
It really did. I personally didn't think he gave away too much of the.
Come on, move down the arm.
You're not far off.
Did you really? You really avoided the whole thing?
Shit! Did you not notice how I disappeared from the Spider-Man trailer?
Yeah.
I thought that was just convenient timing.
Yeah, he came back and he's like, "Did I miss the Spider-Man trailer?" I was like, "Yep."
Good. That was ridiculously bad.
Dude, do you see what I mean?
No, the worst one.
Like, that whole fucking movie is revealed in that one trailer.
Oh, I already knew about it because I saw it before you, and I was telling you not to watch it.
I was so pissed.
The worst one, though, the worst one was fucking Pirates of the Caribbean last night.
Yeah,
that's
so glad I went 5-year-old and just closed my ears and shut my eyes.
Dude, literally,
I'm not watching it.
Dude, literally, at one point, I looked at fucking Miles. I was like, are we in the right theater? I thought we were here to see Guardians.
10 minutes of the fucking movie.
It was longer than that.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dude, we had 35 to 40 minutes of trailers.
It started
before
out.
Before the fucking flick even turned on.
It started out as a normal trailer, you know, with a cut-up movie. And then it literally aired
it actually
like a 10 to 15 minute fucking segment
and it actually,
of the movie itself.
And it started with one of the main actors, I forgot, the one that plays the new villain, giving this, like, dialogue for, like, five minutes, too.
Introducing it.
So what you're telling me is I still could have made the movie.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Dude,
our showing was at 7 o'clock. Okay, so our showing was at 7 o'clock. The
it
movie
didn't
start until 7:45.
Almost 8 o'clock, yeah.
Not even kidding. We almost had about 45 minutes worth of trailer.
That's good to know for the next time I
we
feel
didn't
like
get out of the theater until 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we didn't leave until 10.
Shit.
Yeah, Vario and I, for me, I put my hands in my ears and I just kept singing Dirty Deeds to myself so I didn't hear the whole thing.
The moment the actor, I can never remember his name, I'm sorry, but the moment he showed up on screen, I immediately looked at Anderson and was like, if you care anything about this movie, do not watch this. Because I was warned online by a few people that had said that the trailer, this was going to reveal way too much of the movie. Don't watch it if you care about it. And they said it was going to be at the beginning or just before Guardians of the Galaxy was where it was supposed to premiere. So... I just can't get over the fact that Hollywood they don't fucking care. They're just going to give away the entire fucking movie. You want to know why people aren't going to see your movies? Because they know what the fucking movie is before they even go.
Yeah, but that's not the only... I mean, that's a very good reason, but also my mom...
And movie tickets are fucking ludicrous.
I was just about to bring that up, because when I was leaving, my mom asked me how much the ticket was, and I was like, it was like almost $17. She's like, are you fucking kidding? Now my mom knows... Never really swears, but you know where I'm getting at. And they were floored. Almost $17.
It's just insane.
For a fucking movie at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if you really break it down with all the popcorn...
I remember it was at like $7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember going to premieres and it was like... I think the most we ever paid for was like $9.
Dude, I remember going to a matinee and it was $3.20.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is like if you added any kind of snacks...
I remember paying for a cup of coffee.
If you
and it was a dollar.
Right. If you added like snacks and drinks and everything, that's like $30 just to go to one flick.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous now, man. It was so heartbreaking.
Yeah, I just
the fact that you have to plan a day to go see a flick.
Dude, that's why...
Because you might go broke, like, you might not have enough money.
That's why it's late, a problem. Like, especially lately, like, when we've been going to see movies, like, on Saturdays and Sundays, to the earlier showings, I literally don't get there until, like, 5 minutes before the movie starts. A majority of the time, it's because I just don't want to see any of the trailers.
Yeah, it's the trailers last night. I mean, I was hearing people behind us and in front of us, like, dude, when's the movie starting? I thought this was supposed to start at 7.
Yeah.
It was literally 35, 40 minutes of trailer.
So, getting into the movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is extremely entertaining. It is very good.
I think it was the more comedy than the first.
Yeah, a lot more.
Absolutely.
And there was a lot more comedy. I think there were some times where it kind of pushed it a little bit too much. But I still thought, I mean, overall.
You mean they just kept going with more jokes?
Yeah, gotcha. I thought it was like, I mean, it's good to have a movie like that that has comedy, kind of like the first one. But you gotta have space.
And hands down, one of my favorite openings.
Yeah, it didn't feel forced to me, but
one of my favorite openings for the MCU movies of all time.
That was a good.
Yeah, opening. That was pretty good.
I like your first one better though.
When it got to not the opening, but the one that really kicked off the movie.
I really enjoyed
that.
I
was pretty much dancing with
it. I still like Star-Lord's intro to the first
I like this one more. But then again, I was pretty much dancing in my seat to the song, too, while we're going.
But, you know,
the soundtrack is great again.
Watching Little Groot dance around was pretty fucking entertaining.
I loved it when he waved at Gamora. And she's like, hi!
He's stupidly cute. And the fact that they acknowledge it throughout the movie made it even funnier.
I think it's... Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Drax got a lot more lines.
I think
I could not imagine Drax being played by anyone but Batista. If they even tried that, I'd just be like, nope, I won't watch it.
I kind of wondered, watching this movie, there was a lot of improv dialogue.
It looked like it.
I'm sure there is.
And I'm sure when you get the Blu-ray...
You know at least something was improvised.
Yeah, especially after reading about that fucking writer. But that writer said a DC... Or was it...
He's
was
like, that it's a, so infuriating that the best line delivered in this entire show was improvised by Chris Pratt. It was not even written.
Yeah.
I'm sure the gag reel on the Blu-ray is going to be fucking huge. It says
he kept internet
network connection
issues. I actually looked up that scene. It's pretty fucking funny when he says that too.
What's that?
It's even better.
Parks and Rec.
It's even better in context.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is like I looked up that scene and watched it. I was like, this is pretty fucking
funny.
And
I'm glad I avoided all the trailers because I wasn't expecting that many fucking cameos.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've seen all the trailers. Before we went and saw the movie, honestly, if you did see the trailers, it was literally the first part of the movie. Everything else after that, they really didn't show much. So, I mean, I think Marvel and Disney need to cut back on their trailers.
Yeah.
But after seeing the movie and seeing all the trailers, it literally was the first part of the movie.
So, listeners, it's absolutely...
It didn't really give away too much.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth watching, worth going to see. I will put this little kind of asterisk in there. If you are a huge Guardians of the Galaxy fan, not talking about the movies, but the comic books, if you thought the first one derailed, if you thought the first one deviated, this one deviates tremendously.
Well, here's the thing. And like Kevin Feige, how do you pronounce his last name?
Figgy.
He came out and says a lot of what... That's why the MCU is what it is. It's its own universe. They take a lot from the comic books... But they don't go page for page. You know, they want it to be its own thing.
And that's true, but if you look at the original Phase 1 movies, they stayed pretty true to a lot of the content throughout. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, again, yeah, it wasn't word for word and it wasn't page for page, but they stayed really true to the content. Guardians of the Galaxy, the only thing that is actually true to the original content is Gamora, Groot, and Rocket. Drax is far more entertaining and far funnier than he ever has been in the comic books.
I mean, to be fair, he was always pretty entertaining if you have a really fucked up sense of humor.
Yeah.
But he was also, his big thing was he was a heavy hitter.
Yeah, and Quill has never had this kind of personality.
Well, Rocket was what, British?
Quill was usually like a straight
Scottish.
Arrow.
Scottish, thank you.
Huh?
Quill in the comics originally was a pretty straight arrow.
Yeah, he was a dick though
when
it started.
I'm glad they're going their own route, though.
He was the equivalent of... I would have to say he was the equivalent of, like, Iceman from fucking Top Gun.
To me, they made him similar to Cyclops.
I'm glad they're going their own route and they're doing their own thing with the MCU.
Just like a serious personality.
Like with Cyclops.
Mm. Yeah.
He's the leader of the group. He knows he's the leader kind of feeling.
Yeah. I'd go with that. Like in the original Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of that had to do with the fact that he really fucked up. I mean, he kind of ruined his career and his life and ended up in space, and then as a result of the choices that he made, and then ended up in space and ended up in the Nova Corps only to find out that his dad was this Emperor Jason and all this stuff. And then, listeners, that's in the comic books. That is not even close to the movie, so I'm not spoiling anything for you.
But I like the movie for what it is.
But with that in mind, the movies are very entertaining, and they sat there and they took a team approach of, if you were to sit there and say, okay, let's take the cast of Firefly and remake them into a raccoon, a walking tree, an assassin. Like, and what would we get? This is what you'd get.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job of it.
I think the cool thing,
and that's why it's so entertaining,
was a lot of the characters from that were like considered side characters from the first movie got more light.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, and I honestly, in the movie, Baby Groot, Drax, and Yondu steal the movie, man. Fucking love them even more.
Yeah, I love Groot 10 times more now.
I never, like, I thought Yondu was a decent character in the first one. I liked some of the parts they had him in there, and the little bit of emotion that they brought forth with his character towards the very end of the movie. This one made him 1,000 times more likable and made him 1,000 times
more. And Michael Rooker is great.
Wow, this is really good. And Michael Rooker did a fantastic job, and I just enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, there's a lot happening though.
Kurt Russell did a great job in his role.
We're trying not to spoil it for you, dude. I swear to God.
If you think we're spoiling it for you, go look up the cast list.
Oh no, I already.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, he did a fantastic job. Didn't really expect him to do as good a job as he did.
Yeah.
To be honest, I never really, like, I haven't seen.
I also didn't think
I haven't seen Kurt Russell as a true sci-fi kind of actor.
No,
he's always been kind of action or drama or, you know, fuck, he's great in westerns. Hateful Eight, he's fantastic.
And what's the
so to see the, to that, so to see him in such a sci like such a sci-fi role?
Bone just Tomahawk.
Great job.
I heard he's really awesome in that too.
Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone. He's great.
So yeah, the one thing I can't figure out is who the fuck Nathan Fillion played.
Yeah,
because he's listed in the cast. So I'm like, what the fuck? What did he play?
I'm gonna fucking look
at this. We will also tell you, this is one of the first times they had multiple scenes after credits.
Five
scenes. Fucking cutscenes. Okay, I like the cutscenes, but they need to kind of. Five's going too far.
I think they were trying to touch on a lot of different avenues at one time.
Yeah, and I think one of them was pretty funny because Anderson and I joked about it before it showed up.
Thinking that was going to be
in the next movie, but it makes sense as to why they showed it, because it kind of needs to happen sooner rather than later, because the next films have to start getting into
it pushes a certain character a certain direction thing, that needed to happen.
Was it just me, or did Kurt Russell's ship kind of look like Heart of Gold? Hitchhikers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when he
holy
showed up.
Shit, no joke. Yeah.
When he showed up, I was like expecting him to walk in there and there'd be a an over an emotional robot.
Yeah,
you know, a depressed robot.
God, I fucking love that movie.
We're on the exact same page when that happened.
I was like, is that the Heart of Gold? Is he going to hit an improbability drive?
The fucking soundtrack's incredible, though.
Although, that was almost simulated. That had me laughing so hard. Oh, man. It is, it was definitely funnier. It's worth watching. So, just
it's
know
a good
that,
way to kick off the summer movies.
Absolutely. Just know that it deviates even farther away from the source material, so... Don't
go
in expecting
to half of the comic side.
Holy
and
shit!
Just go into it with an open mind. You're
yeah,
love it.
Just go in for entertainment.
So the funny Rob Zombie's in the movie.
Yeah,
he's one of the Ravagers.
Yeah.
I thought it was Taserface.
That I could see Taserface. Rob Zombie is Taserface.
Yeah. Taserface.
Seth?
What kind of name is Taserface?
Did you know Howard the Duck is played by Seth Green?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You could hear it in his voice and
I didn't even realize it. It's
very obvious.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion is on there.
But one of the after credits scenes did answer a Stan Lee fan.
Oh, yeah.
Theory. Oh, my God.
God, it blew that theory wide open. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy.
And I'm kind of glad
I really want to say it.
So, I
don't know if I want to spoil it for you because.
Yeah, I don't want to say it.
We'll just leave it. We'll discuss it next week.
Go see it.
But here's the funny thing. I want
to
know.
And if you go, let me know because I might be able to talk my dad into going with me.
All right.
Remember when we were at the Stan Lee
panel?
And he said he did his favorite one.
Yeah.
Recently. I'm still wondering which one it is now.
I think it was in Guardians.
Probably.
Yeah, but
he was talking about Guardians a lot in that panel.
Yeah. That's true, he was. And I wonder if it's because of the fan theory. I definitely
listened to it.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it's because of the fan theory now that everybody had around him.
Maybe.
Interesting.
It's possible.
Because he said, what, there was three new ones he did? Three or four new ones?
I don't know. I think one of my favorite cameos of his is still Deadpool when he was a DJ at the
show. That was funny as hell.
Titty bar.
So,
and when he came, during the panel, he's all, still never came up.
So one last thing I need to bring up is Spider-Man. So Spider-Man is, obviously we're going to be coming up with his own movie that's going to be made by Sony and Marvel.
Yeah,
the odd part about this is that the agreement after that kind of breaks down. He'll be in the Avengers, but that's about as far as it's going to go. After that, they're going to continue with this Spider-Man in more Sony films. So the Amazing Spider-Man series is done. They're not going to do any more from that, which sucks because Miles and I really wanted to see where they were going to take that.
Andrew Garfield.
Not even just for Andrew Garfield, just wanted to see where they were going to go with it. I mean, it feels like they've done this too many times of taking a movie to a certain point and leading it on to, we're going to create this bigger universe with it, and then fucking dropping it. I'm getting tired of that. So hopefully Sony does not do that again, because after Homecoming...
That was the Spider-Man I grew up with.
Yeah. And after Homecoming, Sony is going to continue with this Spider-Man and create more movies. Now, they're going to be taking advice and info from Marvel, but they will have full creative control. So whether or not that's going to work out for them, we'll see. Sony so far has a huge tendency with fans to completely fuck things up. So
they have a head ass problem.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's up it.
Now, we should clarify that's Sony Pictures, which is a completely separate division from a lot of the other Sony products out there. So they kind of all run themselves. So if you think this has anything to do with the PlayStation division, doesn't. They all, you know, they all kind of stay separate, which is smart. But that was
although
it.
They have a head ass thing too.
Yeah. Every now and then, yes. With crossplay.
Just do it!
It's the weirdest thing.
So, yeah, Nathan Fillion was not in the new one at all. Uncredited.
He was listed.
I just looked it up on IDN.
They must have not had him then.
Then he must have.
Because originally he was listed before the movie came out.
I wonder if they did it just because he was in the first one and they just assumed he might have been.
That's absolutely possible. They might have been expecting his character to show back up again. Anyways, that's all we got for this week. I'm going to have a pain in the ass time editing it, but...
We're not going to talk about Dark Tower. You don't want to...
Fuck the Dark Tower. I'm just joking. actually, no, I do want to talk about that because Idris Elba...
Goddamn.
If you were to come up to me and say, I want to have you, I'd probably let you. Because God damn it.
Do you really not want to see the Gunslinger?
I gotta watch it.
Like, I feel
have
like
you, have you watched it?
No, I feel like we should watch it and talk about it.
It is so
because
badass.
Of all the people that's in this room, you know about the books more.
Like,
and I'm really curious on like how close this is.
And listeners, with the way that trailers had been going, I was already sold a minute and 30 into it, so I stopped watching there.
The 2:15.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes something. But I was like, all right, I'm sold. I don't need to say anymore.
Doesn't reveal a whole lot beyond that. The rest of that part is just kind of quick cut action points.
And just how badass
as
Elba
a fan
is.
Of the books, I can already accept I can already accept him as Roland.
I can
because in the books, at one point, he has to jump bodies.
Fair.
So
so it could be another.
Sorry, it could be somebody else.
I can already accept it because I know there was a lot of fans pissed off.
Dude, that Matthew McConaughey as a bad guy. Oh, he's gonna be dope.
Well, he's playing the Man in Black, which he's been a villain in multiple Stephen King books.
Yeah, that is the one villain that actually ties together many books.
I'm still curious though because
we have The Stand.
It's a
side book. We have The Stand, The Dark Tower, which is the entire series,
Frailty.
Frailty.
Not Frailty. Needful Things.
Needful Things. Thank you.
Storm of the Century.
Yeah, he is in Storm of the Century. I forgot about that.
Is he in The Fog?
Fog has nothing to do with it. That's not Stephen King.
I thought it was. I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of The Mist.
Thank you. That's it.
The Mist is a side book, just like it.
Yep.
Has more water vapor.
Yeah. less evaporation.
Okay, like let me show you the tie.
It's a wetter cloud.
All right, listeners, the tie into it, is that.
So we're not done, listeners.
The tie-in is that Roland fights Pennywise's big brother.
Right. We've had this discussion. I remember that part.
We're at 120.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, look badass. That fucking movie poster with him doing that sidestep.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, that is iconic looking.
Right.
I was like, that looks fucking straight up badass.
Dude, I want to...
You'll show you it to you later.
I want to wrap myself up in those posters. They're kick-ass. I love the shot of the upside-down city.
Yeah.
Making the tower in the middle. That's sick. Like, fuck. Like, those kind of posters, when I see shit like that, I'm like, I wish I had done that.
Well, that's like the new Star Wars poster. It was just perfectly... Yeah. It was just done right.
It fits it.
The only character I'm hoping I haven't seen, well, I'll watch the trailer to see if Oi's in it. Because Oi is probably one of my favorite characters in the series.
Oi?
Oi?
Yeah. Oi!
Oi.
Oi.
He's kind of like an otter dog.
Well, like when they had the secret screening for it at the Cinema Fest or whatever the fuck it was.
I'm gonna put on a fucking trailer.
I've been waiting a long time for this. Moment to come, I'm destined for anything at all. Downtown, lights will be shining on me like a new diamond ring out under the midnight hour.
Alright, so we watched the trailer of The Dark Tower. So, after seeing it,
it's gonna be interesting.
Thanks, Ollie.
What kind of weather? What kind of weather is it out there today, Ollie? Space weather! Alright, thanks, Ollie.
It's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. What did you think, Josiah?
I mean, it looks cool. Looks like I got some reading to do.
Yeah. It definitely makes me want to go and...
That's why I have it on audio.
Yeah.
Although I've heard the book, or everything that I've read on the books is that they are a little convoluted in comparison to other Stephen King books because...
They're out there.
He kind of jumps a little bit, so...
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah. Continuity-wise, and how close is that to the book?
Based off of one trailer that's
only... I mean,
only
just kind of giving an idea. Just giving an idea. For someone who's never read the books.
Maybe 60%.
Oh, that's not bad, though.
I mean, he seems really pleased.
What my mind has to adjust to is the time frame, because...
Why the time frame?
The books take place in a different, time.
Era?
So, okay, yeah. In a nutshell, every time Roland comes back to our world, it's always a different time frame.
Okay.
And that's how he adds characters to his group throughout the books. So that's going to be my biggest thing I'm going to be more concerned about for the movies going forward.
Is how that's going to work out.
Because it's taking place modern now instead of like...
Well, okay, so Jake, if I remember right, he was a boy from the 60s.
Yeah, okay.
So that scene, like the modernized version, took place in the 60s. But I'm okay with that because I can accept modernizing stuff because that's what we do for movies anyways.
Yeah.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
My biggest thing is the other
thing. It's probably a lot easier to film in New York.
The first movie as long as they do the ending well. Because the ending, as long as it leads off to the next ones, it's my only concern is how they're going to pick up the other characters. Because, like, Susan's a big one. You have to pick her up from that time frame for that very reason, because that's her whole character.
Why is that?
Spoiler
alert.
Okay, whatever. Spoiler alert. She was a black woman in the 1970s who got beat up by white supremacists who threw her on a train track to make sure a train track ran over her fucking legs and took them off. And for that,
that does not have to take place back then.
Yeah.
That could easily take place now.
Yeah, with the way racism is.
Well, right now. They could, but as long as they kind of keep that whole thing with that.
Maybe character. Not racism, but racial tension right
and
now.
Another character is
still
Eddie.
Racism, I know.
Who's a drug addict from the 80s who Roland kind of sobers up and starts training him to be another gunslinger.
Okay.
So here's my thing then. And it being where it looks like it's taking place, obviously, now, modern time. Do you think those characters are already going to be established in the first movie? Like,
no.
Those are the characters that he's sitting with also
that's,
in the
That
ta-
was the thing
table.
In the books, is that he pulled each person off of a different timeline and brought them to his world.
So here's the thing. I don't think that is so much important.
That's why I said that's my pickiness.
I get that, but I don't think that's so much as important as nailing the characters and who they are and how they act.
And that's... As long as they can pull it off, as long as Matthew McConaughey plays the man in black and he does it very well, because he needs to be the villain throughout the entire series to make him truly what you need. And my other concern is that they actually rewrite the ending.
Okay, spoiler alert, what's the original?
I don't want to know that, I'm going to read the books.
Alright, you can tell me afterwards then.
Okay.
No, I'm just curious.
So... yeah, I mean, it looks cool. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm also curious if the monsters are the ones that are, like, what is it, like, its brothers?
There's so many monsters in that world.
Oh, okay. That might not be them, then. It could just be some throw-in. Okay.
Those could be the same monsters in the fucking mist. So, essentially, every demon, every monster in this series that... This universe comes from the world that Roland's from, and they come into our world.
And that's what creates it, and the mist.
Yeah, that's
how
they
got
here.
Okay. That's fair. That's I'm starting to get it.
That's where the parallel really runs. And the thing is that because the Dark Tower is what keeps our worlds together. It's essentially the centerfold.
So since you're such a buff, and this is your thing, would you be upset if it and the mist and everything do become this one universe
with
the Dark
with
Towers? Okay.
It doesn't affect me at all.
In reality, most of the
We have this discussion all the time with a lot of people who read the comic books and they get upset because it's not page for page. You know, people who read a lot of books that go watch movies. Obviously, the movie is half
the
time
thing,
completely different from the fucking book.
Like, if you want to know, like, okay, so the things that tie it into The Stand, Derry. The town of Derry is used in almost every single Stephen King book.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Stephen King's Tristram.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of weird. It's like
Stanley's
when it's like,
New York.
Anyways, Dark Tower makes me really excited. I'm really excited to see it. I want to see what they do with the rest of the Stephen King universe.
I want to see all the different.
Supposed to be redoing The Shining. So
yeah, I want to see all the different ways that he can load his gun.
Well, The Shining. was a standalone story.
Oh, I know, but I'm just like it's interesting. It's interesting to see this revival of Stephen King movies.
But
coming
I did.
Out. So I'm interested to see what they do with The Shining. I'm interested to see what they do with a lot of movies. And the movie that I really want them to do is Maximum Overdrive. Just saying, because. I love that movie.
I don't want them to
what
remake
the
that.
I want
the
them
Shining.
To remake it with the exact same soundtrack they had.
You're right, then.
But takes place now.
But takes place now.
What about The Running Man?
Huh?
What about The Running Man?
The Running Man was
dude,
a Stephen
that movie
King
is,
movie?
That movie is practically perfect.
Hold on.
It's
I know
almost,
I'm not
it's
really
almost,
into Stephen King.
It's
that
almost
much.
Nothing.
That was a Stephen King book?
It's almost nothing like the
no
story,
shit.
But...
That's interesting. I never knew that.
All right, well, we need to move on. We need to close out pretty soon. One last thing I want to bring up, listeners, is I've completely spaced on this, is Darksiders 3, they had a reveal trailer come out, and it had
a lot of mixed reviews.
Had some interesting reactions.
The biggest thing, you're the biggest fan of this series.
In the room, yes.
Yeah, I'm really curious how
I think Miles is probably a very close second.
I didn't finish the second one, though. Like, I really enjoyed the first one.
You call yourself a Star Wars
fan.
Can
get into the second one.
What the hell? I never saw Empire!
It's exactly.
I didn't know Death was a Sith. Makes sense, but... It makes
sense. He's actually Plagueis.
No, So, like, the trailer came out, and there was a lot of mixed reactions to it. A lot of people were Some people were pissed off that you're going to be playing as a girl, which is hysterical in today's like gaming age. That's
fucking stupid.
I don't recall one person being pissed off about Horizon Zero Dawn being a female.
Right.
I think it's just because it's horseman and not horsewoman.
They're bringing the PC thing in there. Yeah. Never mind the fact that even
horse
in the,
person, even that's a centaur.
Yeah, even in the equestrian culture, they call them.
That was good. I like that.
So, and the other thing that a lot of people are pissed off about is the fact that the horsemen aren't the names that people would normally associate them with, which is normally war, death, famine, and
pestilence.
Miles and I both agree that famine and pestilence would be very cool powers because you'd have some really interesting effects to have with your enemies.
Definitely be a challenge to make a game mode to revolve around them, I think.
I think if you and I sat down and thought about it for like a good 30 minutes, we could probably come up with
some really cool stuff. Because I mean, war, super easy, death, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, so you gotta get a little bit more creative if you're going famine and pestilence.
Yeah.
I could see it being really cool, though.
Like, the effect.
Yeah.
Like, seeing it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watching pestilence just gas, like, somebody or something like that, and that effect.
You know, having famine walk up to somebody, and if, in this case,
they just shrivel up.
You know, walking up to somebody, and, you know, if it were a female, kissing a demon on the lips, or knocking them down and kissing them on the forehead, and suddenly you just watch them fucking wither away and starve to death in front of you. That'd be pretty badass to watch.
Basically, become Ethiopian.
It'd be fucked up, but it'd be badass. And let's face it, what part of Darksiders isn't pretty fucked up? So it was kind of weird to see the reactions to it because, to be honest, at first Miles and I had the kind of similar reaction to. We were thrown off by the name, and that's because it'd been so long. I mean, fuck, it's been 5 years. Since a Darksiders game has been debuted.
Unlike Kingdom Hearts 3.
And we were kind of confused.
Fuck you.
We were kind of confused, but that's because we didn't remember the fact that they actually named the other two horsemen in the second game, which is...
Did they really?
Yeah, which is Fury and Strife. And listeners, in case you don't know this, those are actual names that are used in other writings and other paintings in other views of the horsemen, because... Biblically, which is what people bring up all the time, like, but the Bible says this. No, the Bible actually only names two horsemen in the entire thing. And war
depends on what you're reading specifically.
I was going to say,
because I think
different translations definitely have four.
Because like the certain ones,
they have four horsemen. They never name the other two. The only ones that are actually named are war and death. And the different translations of those words. There's can conquest. Also can also mean conquest. What was the other one?
Pestilence seemed to be pretty common, right?
Pestilence was never named in the Bible. Pestilence is named in literature and in paintings.
It's conquest something. I don't remember.
After seeing that, Miles and I decided to do a little research and find out where these names came from. Yeah. Well, it turns out that the general terms that we know as pestilence and famine are the most used.
Yeah, it's the general knowledge.
But they are not the only names for them. So what's funny is the fact that the things that we kept coming up with were the most used were just naming the colors of the horses, which is funny to me. It's like identifying a person by, you know, the car they drive.
Right.
Oh, that's Apocalypse the Ferrari Pony. Driver.
love that fucking
Apocalypse skit. Horse.
Apocalypse Pony.
Apocalypse Pony.
Love that.
Yeah.
Pestilence Pony.
So,
So
listeners, if you had a problem with that, you really shouldn't, because it was named in the lore beforehand. I went back and read the comics that I have. They're named in there as well as, and it was, you know, it was always intended by, you know, to be that for the past 7 years.
So
ever since the first game came out, they've always planned it this way.
So the other two horsemen were Strife and
Fury.
Fury.
Fury is...
Darksiders 3 is going to be Fury.
Yeah. Fury is a primarily mage, and she uses her whip.
But she is a horseman.
She is a horseman.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. 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 She is. She's the sister of, obviously, death, war, and strife. Originally, what they had planned was and they've listed this on multiple blogs, and they've actually released a new one that became the plan after 2, before the studio was closed down. which I did read, and it is different from the original plan from the first game. But in an exit interview that I had watched, one of the creative directors said that one of the plans had been originally from the first game was to make four games, and it was supposed to be War, then Death, and then the third game was supposed to be Strife and Fury, and the reason was because their powers play off of each other. Originally planned them as twins.
Yeah. Really?
The other two are the oldest brothers, and the other two are twins, and their powers play off of one another. And the idea was that in combat, you would literally switch from one to the next as your powers changed up, and they would just fuck shit up. That's what they used to make up for their lack of power compared to their other two brothers. Because Death is supposed to be the strongest of the horsemen. The most powerful.
Yeah. War was supposed to be the most intelligent, right?
War is more strategic.
Yeah.
But he is very powerful as well.
I remember reading about the twins.
But, that was the idea. And then by the fourth game was supposed to be all of the horsemen. Now, recently they had changed that by the end of the second game that they wanted to try and make the third game all of the horsemen. Because they realized that the other two were weaker. But now things have changed with, you know, they have a new studio. Ownership and new studio. But the new studio is very much aware of what the other games were supposed to be. They have just decided that, and this might be more for creative reasons of trying to figure out how a dual combat system would work like this. And to try and get around that is just to split them up and to give them their own games. Which is fine. You just cater your enemies towards the strengths of your character, which is exactly what they're going to do with this. That's why Fury's going after the seven deadly sins. So the cool part about this that I'm really excited for is the fact that
Strife is going to go after Walmart.
The cool thing that I'm looking forward to is the fact that it's going to be an even bigger open world, and every game has gotten bigger since the first one. They've always gotten really creative with their puzzles. They've gotten really creative with a lot of their gameplay.
I remember playing a little bit of the first one. It reminded me a lot of Zelda.
Yeah very much so.
Zelda meets God of War.
Well, the same structure.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's going to be kick-ass, and I'm looking forward to continuing that story, especially after hearing a long time ago that they were going to cancel it. When THQ closed down, they were like, yep, nobody's going to pick it up. And then fucking now THQ Nordic, I can't remember what their original name was, picked it up and were like, yeah, we want to continue the series. We want to keep going. So really excited to see where they take this.
Yeah, I remember playing the first one and seeing the other horsemen being called down to the planet.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. It's about to get real.
And that's from the first game. And the theory right now, and this is the same, this is the theory that I have, is that because of the gameplay in 2 with Death, that is taking place at the same time that War is actually imprisoned. And towards the end of 2, that's actually when War has been released from his prison and is going to be allowed to figure out who broke the seal. So the thing in the first Darksiders is you find out basically who's kind of behind things. And the comic books practically spell it out. So it'll be interesting to see if they continue through with that plan, because by the end of the first one, when you see you basically see him call forth the rest of his brothers. There's no anger between him, Death, Fury, and Strife at that point. So I would imagine that Fury's story is going to take place during his imprisonment, because that's what it looks like at the beginning of that trailer.
Yeah.
Is that he's still in prison and being punished for, quote-unquote, breaking the seal when the seal... Or breaking the code when the seal wasn't broken.
Yeah.
False claim.
Starting the apocalypse.
Yeah, starting the apocalypse.
I need to see more of this trailer again.
So, it'll be interesting to see if they tie that in, because if that is true, by the time they get to the end of the series, I am looking forward to kicking ass with all four of them. Because as deadly as one of them is...
Never happened for four-person co-op.
That'd be so kick-ass.
It's happened before. It just really sucked.
Well, as deadly
it's
as...
It's called Assassin's Creed Unity.
As deadly as one of them is by themselves, all four of them would be unstoppable. I mean,
But here's the thing,
like Voltron.
With something like that, though, you got to find that balance, though. Because if you make your characters way overpowered and everything, it's just going to be an easy game. You're just going to breeze.
Like I said, you play. Yeah, you play to the strengths of your characters.
There's all kinds of games. You could do easy drop in, drop out.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, have somebody pop in. You're know, like, oh, I'm going to be death. You know, whatever.
Kind of like thus Evolve.
You increase the amount of enemies or end their difficulty. Yeah.
If Diablo's X-Men been Legacy, doing
it forever.
If X-Men Legacy done it forever. If X-Men Legacy can do it and Marvel Ultimate Alliance can do it, they can do it with this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all we have for this week. Listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. This is Bargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Anderson.
This is Loach. Keep on geeking on.
And we're out.